Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Good morning, everybody. I sense that you're ready for the word today. Amen, amen. How many of you have really enjoyed what God has been doing over the last few weeks? I mean, it's been incredible, right? Yes, let's give God a big hand for that. Come on. Yes. Those of you that are online, we are so glad that you're here as well. And today, those of you that are in the room and those of you that are online, I'm just going to encourage each of us to lean in. Look at somebody and say, lean in. You see, this series is on purpose, and God knows exactly who needs to hear what today. So would you join me in prayer, and let's begin to let God do the work. Amen? Father, we just thank you, God, that you are in this place. Lord, we open our heart, we open our ears, and Father, we open our spiritual eyes so that we can see, hear, and know, God, that you are speaking and what you are speaking to us about. Lord, I thank you that you are taking this message and dividing it into hundreds of ways so that each one, God, can receive. So Holy Spirit, have your way. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Amen. So I am excited about the move of God. I mean, we had Easter a few weeks ago that was so powerful. And then the next week we had 52 people get baptized in this house. Wow. Last week we is one of my favorite things when the Holy Spirit just takes over and we worship the whole time. I mean, y'all, that was incredible. And last week I was supposed to speak this message. The message that we are kicking off is called Triggered. Everybody say Triggered. So I was supposed to speak that last week, but God knew that we needed a soaking. That's what I call it, is a soaking. Have you ever seen a sponge that's been on the kitchen sink for a little too long? Hadn't been used, been out in the sun. It's a little dry, a little crispy. But when you pour the water on it, it just soaks it up. Amen? And that's what we needed last week. And you know, I believe it was in preparation for what he's wanting us to hear today. And so I want to just tell y'all that today and next week, we're going to be talking about Triggered. Can't cover everything in one service. So those of you that are online, you got to tune in for next week as well. And those of you that are here, come on back next week. Next week is even going to be even more of some practicals of what we're going to talk about today. But I want to tell you that in studying for this message, I want to just tell you that everything that we are talking about is from the Word of God that is alive and is active. You don't understand it. I don't understand it in parts and pieces and all of these things. And I don't even understand how it can be alive and active other than it is God. It's supernatural. His word is the infallible word of God. And y'all, this has been the main resource for the message, okay? This is the main resource, scriptures. This is what is here today to be delivered. But I also have two amazing women of God that I absolutely love. One is my favorite. She's actually my best friend. She just doesn't even know it. It's Joyce Meyer, who has written the book Battlefield of the Mind. Yes, many of you know her. If you have not heard her, she is a great teacher of the word, and she has been my best friend for many years. And so I listen to her almost daily. And then there is another resource, which, by the way, if you have never been through Battlefield of the Mind, get this on your shelf. This is like totally incredible, amazing. I'm using some resources out of this book, just being honest, giving people credit. So y'all won't think, oh, Pastor Cherie's got it all together. I am smart, and I do hear the word of the Lord, but I submit myself under teachers as well. There's another one that is called Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. Cleaning up your, ooh, got a woo over there. And this is by Dr. Caroline Leaf, who is a wonderful Christian, but what I love about her is she is, and if I have to say it right, she is a neuroscientist, the study of the brain. She has studied for almost 30 years about the brain, and what she's actually done is proven the principles in the Word of God scientifically that they are true and they work. Isn't that awesome? We all know that God created us uniquely and very complex, but it takes somebody like this to kind of prove it sometimes, right? To where we're like, oh, wow. So I have a few things that we're going to be talking about, especially next week. But I want to encourage you, get this book on your shelf and get onto the podcast of Dr. Caroline Leaf, L-E-A-F, Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. 5 simple, scientifically proven steps to reduce anxiety, stress, and toxic thinking. Very good. So they didn't ask me to do this, but I'm just telling you, I love resources that work. Look at somebody and say, it's working. I'm going to put on my little glasses here so that I can see. But I am wanting to tell you, we're talking about triggered. And triggered is, let me give you a little definition. Triggered is how we instinctively react or respond to various life situations. When we say triggered, when we've experienced triggered, our mind is in action that is responding or reacting to something that is happening to us or that is happening. Now, how many of you can say that we are living in a triggered world, people? Especially since this last year. In fact, the Holy Spirit led us to do this series because, y'all, it has been so crazy. And I know people say that all the time. It's been a crazy year. It's been a crazy year. It's 2020. Even coming into 2021, we have seen so many things happen. The pandemic. We have seen political stuff go crazy. We have seen racism go wild. We have seen people losing loved ones. Maybe you have lost loved ones that you're sitting in this room, and there's lots of grief. Many people lost their jobs, have had to find new careers if they've had that, been on unemployment. Kids have been out of schools, in homes, on computers, and parents have gone crazy with that. Can I get an amen? Yes. There's been lots of anger, lots of rage, loneliness, isolation. And can we just say the word mask without people triggering? Come on. Mask, right? Has that been a crazy? Did you ever think that your mask was going to be a part of your wardrobe in this year? To mask or not to mask? That was the question so many people were triggered about. Communication gaps, financial breakdowns, misunderstandings, social justice, so much hurt and pain. Social media, let's just say that word. Social media, crazy, so many things, anxiety. In fact, this week, there were probably triggers on the both sides of the trial of George Floyd's death with Derek, I can't ever pronounce his name right, Chauvin, that the verdict that had happened, lots of triggers this week on both sides. We live in a triggered world, and there's been so much that's happened, and people feel in today's times than ever before, I have a right. I have a right to feel this way. Because of things that have happened through this past year that hit big roots, big things that have been happening in our lives either for centuries or even recently. We've been living in a triggered society. And I want to just say, how are you doing, y'all? Here we are a year later. How are you doing? How you feeling? How are you feeling emotionally and spiritually, physically and mentally? There's some laughter, like, I know. I'm going, yes, almost triggered by it. Oh, my goodness. I told the staff, I said, y'all be praying for me because this could trigger everybody in the sanctuary. We may have to have another altar call. Get the band up, you know. That's why God did what he did last week, you know. But I want to just let you know, there were some good things that happened in 2020, 2021. People have had new jobs and businesses formed because they had to pivot. Families became closer. Technology surged. Time together became more precious, more valuable, more important. People slowed down, started listening to each other and each other's stories. Valuable. We saw each other, every race, every color, every demographic, all around the world, not just here. All around the world. We heard each other. Could we still hear each other? Yes, we can. But we began that. We valued each other. We forgave. There was a lot of forgiveness. There was a lot of healing. And the healing began. The healing began. We learned new trades. We began to dream new dreams. We began to dream new dreams. And some people, because they were at home and isolated so much, they had more babies. So new life came out of it. Come on, gotta look at the possibilities and the positive things that came out. But just so that you guys will kind of know, this has affected everybody, even Pastor Dave and myself. You know, some people think because we are up here, we're pastors of this church, and we have a microphone, that we have everything all together. And I want to say we don't. And if you think we are, I'm sorry, you're going to be disappointed. Remember, we say this isn't a perfect church, but we strive to be more like Jesus. And everything that we teach and preach, we live. We honestly do. And there's some days that are good and some days that are hard, just like what you walk through. And so I want to just tell you a little bit. The Holy Spirit just told me, just talk. Talk to the people today. I want to just tell you something that I have been walking through. And I'm just going to be honest, you know, and vulnerable. And that's just, if you know me, that's just the way I am anyway. And if you're like, oh my goodness, my pastor, y'all just get over it. Everybody's human. Look at somebody and say, she's human. So most of you know my personality. I say most of you, those of you that have been here a while know my personality. And I'm old enough now that I don't care a lot what people think, you know. Whoa! Man, that was a revival note right there. But my personality is the type of personality that used to really care. And so I'm one of those extroverted I personalities. But because I am that, I mean, when the pandemic hit and we were told, you know, you're going to have to shut down and everybody has to stay in their house, all of a sudden, I look at Dave and I go, I can't breathe. He's like, what? He's like, oh, this is going to be great. We can stay home. I can recharge. I can, you know, we could just be here. And I'm like, I can't breathe. I have to stay home more than 24 hours. Oh my gosh. I can't be around people. What am I going to do? too. Hyperventilation. Come on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay. I'm one of those people that recharges when people are around, and that's who I love to be around with. So when somebody says you can't be around people, when Pastor Dave and I actually got COVID, my doctor, Dr. Hope, who is one of our beautiful worship leaders in here, I'm crying, Pastor Hope, you know, that she was helping me because it was more than just, in fact, I even got on social media and was like, people, I'm at home alone with my husband and my two-year-old. I mean, I wasn't alone, but I was like, I need you, and, you know, and I was like, overdramatic, come on. But that's just the way I am. And, but I've learned the principles of God's word to how you to help you walk through these things. So I'm going to share a story with you that happened about 2 years ago. Show that first slide up here on the screen. This is my mom and her husband, Tom. And I don't know if they're in here today. They may be online. And here we are 2 years ago. Our church took an amazing trip to Israel. We were with Dr. Andy Jackson. I don't know if he's here today. And we took a tour, and many of you were on that trip with us. And my mom and her husband, Tom, were as well. And my mom is just a beautiful lady, very spirited, is beautiful. And here they are in front of King David's palace. And so Pastor Dave and I were right there. This is the picture that we took until seconds later. She walked up a thing of steps as we were all going to the next place and tripped and fell and broke her femur bone. Very painful, but we didn't know it was all broken yet. So you can go to the next slide there. Here she is, and here's the deal. In Israel, at this time of the year that we went, it was in Feast of Tabernacles season, which means we're not going to get you an ambulance because everything is shut down. We're not even going to get you a taxi because we don't work on during this time. And so it was a very disturbing time because it's like, hey, we need to get her to a doctor. Now, right here, there's Pastor Hope praying over her, Barb Jackson, and then a wonderful Christian Israeli that was praying over her right there. And so we're just thinking, oh, no, she might have, you know, torn something, broken something. So they kind of wrapped up a little bandana. She was sitting on a little lawn chair, you know, a little plastic lawn chair. And that's all we're, so we're trying to figure out, okay, in Israel, you're walking miles. I mean, we walked 35 miles total on our trip. And so here she is. And so I'm kind of like, you know, I'm all about making jokes in times of not insensitive times, but just to kind of bring some levity. So I'm like, Mom, I got to take pictures of this because this is going to be in our memory book. Because at that time, she was like, okay, it hurts, but da 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 da. And so as we moved from this picture, I have other pictures where our team had to pick up the lawn chair because we finally convinced the people, we've got to get somebody over here and get her to a hospital. It was so crazy. It was not like like America during this time where you just can call the ambulance and go, no, 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 no. They're like, sorry. And you're like, what? We just walked miles to get here? What do you mean, sorry? You know, it was a different, that's just where the culture was. So we finally were able to get in a taxi. This is not even the next picture, but they got her in a taxi. It was when they got her to a taxi, which is really like an Uber driver. Our team had picked her up and getting her into the car, we're still all thinking it's just a torn muscle, da 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 da. The scream that she screamed getting from the chair into the car, because that was the moment that her bones separated, that was haunting to me. And I was like, I threw everything down and ran to try to save my mom. You know, if you're a daughter, you're like, oh my gosh, because she's calling out the name of Jesus. She's starting to pass out. We're having to get her in the front seat of a car with a broken femur, and nobody knew what to do because we had no medical, you know, utensils, and we didn't have the gurney and the, you know, all the stuff. And Pastor Hope jumps in the back seat. My husband jumps in the back seat. And my stepfather did, and they take off to a clinic. And here again, we're thinking they're just going to be in a wheelchair. It's a torn muscle. But they take off, and I had to stay continued on the tour to see where Jesus walked. Nobody knew on that little trip of ours what happened to me in that moment. I was triggered. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. Once they got to a clinic, they were able to get her into an ambulance and take her to a wonderful hospital in Jerusalem, where they actually are known for their specialty in these areas, but we didn't know that. And they get to this hospital. You can go to the next slide, I think. Now, we're all smiling because we all know how to smile in front of a camera. But as you, wait, let's go back one more time. It was in this place right here, okay? If we'll push pause, I had to continue going on to this trip. I was shutting down. I'm walking the same streets, following all of you church members that were saying, it's okay, Pastor Cherie, we're going to be da-da-da. But all of a sudden, my world stopped. And everyone else kept taking pictures of the scenery and kept taking pictures. And I was like, I have shut down. And I began to pray in the spirit internally. And I can't even tell you the rest. We saw the tomb of Jesus. We saw where he was crucified. And I was like, just like this, you know, where Pastor Dave and the team, they weren't able to do any of that. Okay, wait, where was that other picture? Me with my mom in her hospital bed. There we go. I finally got to make it back to the hospital. She was in ICU. She finally got to eat something. They had her on some morphine and some drugs. But what happened before then, Pastor Dave said, I'm glad you weren't there. But what she was telling me, because the next day, was it 2 days before we left or one day? I can't remember. I think it was the next day. This was the last day of our 11-day or 12-day trip. The next day, we were to fly back home on a 10 to 11-hour flight. And here she is in the hospital, and she began to tell me right in this room right there. See, I'm just wincing like, I hate this. She began to tell me goodbye. She began to tell me how much of a great daughter I was and how proud she was, because she didn't think she was going to make it. And you're thinking, because of broken, how many of you have broken your femur in your 70s and you're in another country and their facilities, they're blessed, but not as blessed as America? And I was like, Mom, don't say those things. Don't say those things. And she was like, if I don't make it back. I was like, trigger, trigger, trigger. And I'll tell you, you can continue with the rest of the, because I want to tell you that she did make it back. They had to stay 5 more days. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, Pastor Dave and my stepfather had to pray and believe for even a wheelchair, because things were so shut down. And he walked for miles just to get pieces of tape to wrap her leg up. It was like, this really happens? It was crazy. But she finally, look, she's on drugs. Her eyes are all dilated. She's like, yeah, I'm on. And she finally made it on the plane after being sick and crying. It was so traumatic that when Pastor Dave came back, he had been triggered himself, because he had to fight just for survival, it seemed. Now, the rest, some of our team were over in Ephesus from there, and they were having a great time. And I came back here with the team, and it was hard to leave. I had to leave my family over there, not knowing what's going to happen and what type of surgeon is going to, you know, work on her, and is there going to be infections, and, you know, the whole gamut, right? You can remove those now. So I come back, and I'm believing in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm a faith woman, and I'm moving and shaking in the Spirit, but I was shaken when I got home. That on top of jet lag and on top of coming back and taking care of our two-year-old little girl, I was like, whoa, something is not happening right inside. And I came back, and I'm a strong woman of God, and so I just was like, I got to get strong. I got to be strong for my mom. I got to be strong for my husband, because I was getting text messages, pray. We're trying to get this. We're trying to get that. It was just really, it felt like they were in a war. In fact, they heard gunshots while they were in the hospital. That was crazy. Just, was it 2 weeks later, there was a bombing close to the hospital that we were at? I mean, it was like, you know, so the enemy likes to come in and bring fears. But what I was triggered about, it took me back in 2005, where my father, who was a man of God, a preacher, a man of faith, was diagnosed with an incurable disease called Lewy body disease that's under the umbrella of Alzheimer's. He got diagnosed with this at 54 years old. Long story short, there was a five-year long, long battle fighting this disease to where he died at age 59. My mom was the primary caregiver, and I myself was as well. My brother was a great, strong guy, but he shut down emotionally. What we saw, what we experienced, was something I never thought my strong faith daddy, who was a man of God, I was like, you're the greatest, began to deteriorate in front of my eyes. And then I began to wheel him in wheelchairs and change him physically, clothes and his diapers and shower him, things that I never thought I would have to do as a daughter. But I did, because I loved him. But I didn't know what it was doing on me on the inside. Because, you know, I just stuffed that down. And this is one of the things that reason why I'm telling you this story is because many of you have probably done what I did. It was like, in the name of Jesus, and I stuffed and kept going. God is my strength, which is true. His word is ministering to me, which it did. And if it wasn't for the power of worship and praise, that was my oxygen. But maybe you experience some of the things that I've experienced. I've done all these things, Pastor Cherie. I come to church. I'm in a life group. I'm in the Word. I'm worshiping. I'm even tithing. But why do I feel this depression? Why do I still feel this anxiety? Why do I feel triggered when things happen? And I get so mad and I just react on my family. Why is that? And I'm going to say there's probably some things deep down that have not been addressed. I'll tell you what happened to me. I continued to lead. I continued to pray for others. And I myself was having a struggle of my own. In fact, for years now, anybody that would pass away in the church, I would have a very hard time with it. It was not just, oh, I'm so sad. I would go into grieving as if it was my own family member. And I used to make jokes, and I would tell everybody, hey, Pastor Dave's gonna be with y'all. Give me 3 days. Give me 3 days, and I'll be there. Because the families that had people pass away, I would go and show up, or I'd call them on the phone, and they would be comforting me. Pastor Dave, it's okay. I mean, Pastor Cherie, it's okay. And so I would make jokes, but I was like, why do I still have this? So after that experience, I started getting coaching. Look at somebody and say, everybody needs a coach. And I'll tell you why everybody needs a coach in their life. You may want to call it a counselor or a therapist or whatever. I'm going to say a Christian spirit-filled coach is what everybody needs in their life. Because God created us in three parts: spirit, soul, and body. A lot of people like to have a coach for their body. You know, we need one of those people at the gym that shows us how to get, you know, buff and toned and all of that. So we have no problem getting a coach there, right? You come to church and you love having Pastor Dave as one of your coaches that speaks life into you. But emotionally, in our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, we seem to think that that's taboo to have a coach. In fact, I was raised in an era where my parents thought, "Ooh, don't let anybody know that you have issues." And if you think you don't have issues, that is your issue, people. Because we all have things in our life that we're walking through, because we are human people and we live on a planet that is fallen. But what we do have is hope. There is hope. There is hope. But I'm here to tell you that today God had wanted me to share some of my story, because the church and leaders in the church so many times have not heard the stories of people that have mental health issues. We just slap a scripture on it. Hey, you just need to get down to the altar. You just need to go to the freedom class. You need to do that. And yes, and yes, and yes, all that is good. But somebody needs to know, I'm not crazy. There are things that happened in my life that need to be heard and need to be processed. Oh my gosh, Sheree, no. This is all about, let's navel gaze and go into our feelings and all of that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need to process and stop stuffing. In church, we need to stop dismissing people who have these issues. Yes. So a year later, have you felt like your brain has just shut off? Have you felt in the COVID fog? Have you been discouraged? Have you been depressed? Have you felt the anxiety? Have you been overwhelmed with what's happening? Have you been triggered with anger when you've seen things on the news politically? When you've seen things like what happened this week? When you have walked with someone and you saw what they posted on social media and you see them across the room while you're worshiping God and going, oh, didn't know they felt that way. Trigger, trigger, trigger. See, the enemy knows. He studies us. It's part of his motive and agenda. And he has the patience to study you, to know your buttons, so that he can plant what the Bible calls strongholds in our life. So that anytime he wants, he can trigger that and take you as a handle and wipe your face in a mess. He's like, woo, let's have a heyday with this. He knows that. But let me tell you, there is hope. Isaiah 53. Verse 4 and 5 says, Jesus, he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. He was wounded and he was crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. By his stripes we are healed. See, according to Dr. Leaf in her book, Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess, more and more of us are suffering from anxiety, depression, and burnout. But this doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you or that you have a mental illness. In fact, calling these things mental and emotional responses like they're diseases, I have a mental illness. First of all, we need to stop claiming that I have. This is my anxiety, my depression. Get the word my out. It is not your identity. They're not diseases. Anxiety, depression, burnout, frustration, anger, grief, and so on are emotional and physical warning signals telling us that we need to face, we need to deal with something that's happened or is currently happening in our life. Mental health struggles are not our identity. They're normal, and when they need to be addressed. So here I am, you know, I come back and I'm like, why am I keep crying when people pass away? Why do I get depressed? Why am I feeling anxiety? And all of these things are going and going. I'm a woman of God, right? I needed a coach to actually let me process my father's death. You see, she said, you never grieved. You never grieved. You see, in 2005, my father passed away in December. And February the 3rd, LifeLink was incorporated of 2006. So I just threw myself in building the church, which is a good thing, y'all. It's a good thing. But I never really processed the grief. So all these years, there's a trigger, there's a trigger, there's a trigger, there's a trigger. Yes, I have the word. Yes, I have worship. Yes, I come to the altar for prayer. Yes, all those things are great. But if I never processed the pain, you see, pain is real whether you've lost someone traumatically or you saw something traumatic, things that happened to you or things that you did. So maybe there's things in your childhood that happened that you had no control over, and it's just hung with you year after year, marriage after marriage. And now with your own children, you're trying to raise them to where nothing's gonna happen to them like it happened to me, in your own strength. Where Jesus is saying, hey, Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, guess what? I'm gonna be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they're not gonna sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you're not gonna be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. That's really important. The pastor said, you better write it down. Isaiah 43:2. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. But I've done that. Pastor Cherie, and I still have it. And so then we say, we're just gonna ignore it. I'm gonna stuff it down. I'm gonna make sure, I'm gonna praise harder. And I gotta make sure that I read the scriptures so that God will see that I've done it. So then maybe he'll heal me. No, God is the healer of the brokenhearted, the restorer of the soul. He's the healer of the mind, the will, the emotions. And he may use a coach. He may use a pastor to help you get total deep healing. But God can do anything, Pastor Cherie. Where's your faith? Oh, girlfriend, I got it. The faith of God. Because let me just tell you, he uses people in our life. He uses people in our life to help bring that. Those of you that are involved in your life group right now, have those people brought strength to you? Had they brought friendship to you when we have been desperate to be out of isolation and we're connecting with people? They may not be the answer to your problem, but neither is your doctor. They are a part of the healing process. Jesus is the healer, but he also loves to use the teams. See, if we approach getting healing the way Jesus really wanted us to, the wrong way, we get stuck. And it just goes year after year. And then the devil, who's the father of lies, will begin to push those buttons. And he bombards our minds with patterns and thoughts to keep us trapped. And he creates those strongholds, which we're going to talk even more about that next week. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, through COVID, through tragedy, through your loss of jobs, through whatever you have walked through, we can't control some of these events and these circumstances, but we can control our reactions and how we move forward. We have a choice. Healing is a choice. Healing is a choice. Well, I don't want to tell anybody anything. You don't have to. Healing is a choice. Well, are you saying I have to go? That looks so not strong. Many men have a wonderful opportunity with this. I can't. When it's marriage counseling, it's always the wife that says, I'm willing to go and get counseling. And it's the men that's like, usually. But if you're open, you say, God, use what you can to bring healing in my life. So in my coaching time, I have a great spirit-filled coach. I said, I just got to process. I'm a processor out loud. You know what I'm saying? I got to process out loud. Tell me where I'm thinking that may need to be aligned up. Beautiful healing. And that's how I discovered, oh, I never grieved. So what does that mean now, Pastor? Are you going to go and just cry about your father over and over? No way. Because my dad's in heaven and that's the best place for him to be. But what I am is journaling. I'm getting prayer. I'm talking about it with my husband. In fact, Pastor Dave has come and he's even received coaching in his life just to make sure he's processing. Many of you know that my mother-in-law was diagnosed with cancer this last year, and she's moving down to be close to us. That was a trigger. She's my mom too. And I said, Holy Spirit, I'm with you. And he says, I have bore your griefs and carry your sorrows. Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not leave you alone. I am right here with you. And it's just been freeing to acknowledge that this is not a sickness, it's not a disease, and you should not look down upon yourself if you have walked through these things. God knows. He made our souls to feel. He made our minds to think. The enemy knows it too and tries to take advantage. But God is the healer of the soul. God is the healer. And God knows. And so by him coming in, and he is like what I'm saying, it's like a warm blanket and he wraps around. Sometimes I just sit and soak in his presence. And then I wake up and I'm refreshed. You see, we want an instant. Take it away. Take it away. And he says, I'm going to walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. Because I'm going to make you stronger through it. And I'm going to be able to use your story or use what you've walked through to help others. There are a lot of kids, students, high schoolers. One of the leading things, and I'm going to share even next week, many are suicidal. Depression is like a norm, and especially since what's happened. Y'all, adults, we've got to show our students and the young people where the source is. It's Jesus. Jesus. So next week, we're going to talk more about some practicals, some hands-on. But today, just acknowledging that this is an issue. And our world is in it. And church, we have the answer. Let's not have so much spiritual pride that we can't admit that maybe we have some things to be healed from. Am I stepping on any toes? Let's don't be spiritually prideful that we say, I need God in this area. And let others be a part of that healing process. So to wrap this up, we don't have to be triggered, but we can learn to let the trigger points lead us to where we know where the healer is, Jesus. to open our lives to God and to let him in. And that's the first point. It's not just letting Jesus, hurry, meet my needs, hurry, meet my needs. No, many of you down at this altar, even today, Pastor Leslie, we were in the green room and she was like, Shri, I'm submitting this to you, but this is what I felt in my spirit, that there's people that need to get rid of things that have been hidden, toxic things that have been hidden. Maybe some sins, maybe relationships, maybe it's just addictions that have been hidden. And God is saying, hey, come to me all who are heavy and weary, and I will give you rest. I will break those things off. And that's what many were doing even down here at the front today. That's the step, is letting Jesus break those things off, cutting those things out, and releasing those to the Lord for the healing of who he is. And today, making him Lord over every issue, over every trigger point in your life is what we're going to do. Today, we are saying, no longer my depression, my anxiety, my mental illness. Oh no, but Pastor Shree, it's been in my family for generations. We're cutting it. Generation to generation, the powerful name of Jesus breaks every chain, breaks every chain. But we're acknowledging that it's been an issue. So once you've come up to the altar, you may still feel anxiety when you walk out the door and get in the car because you've been afraid to drive in the traffic. You may still feel those feelings, but don't let your focus follow those feelings. You go back to the name of Jesus that breaks every chain. So that's what we're going to do today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, thank you that you are the healer, that you are the deliverer, that God, you are the one, God, that brings hope to the hopeless generation. Father, you're the one that brings light into the darkness that many have lived in, those that may be online that have been in their homes for months. Today, God, I pray for a spiritual breakthrough in their life. Father, the loneliness, the anxiety, the things that have kept them bound from their destiny and from their purpose, from things that they think they can't even do again, in the name of Jesus, I break every thought the enemy has tried to put in your mind. If you are there online and then there's a reason, maybe medically, God is wanting you to know that he has not forgotten you, that he's right there with you where you are, and his healing is for you today. I pray against every demonic strategy over their mind. Set them free from depression. Set them free from anxiety. In Jesus' name, we cancel out the strategy that has been placed in their homes right now that has kept them even isolated away, not because of medical, but because of fear. In Jesus' name, we call that out and we command it to leave. Father, I pray that your power and your presence move right now over our online campus, those that are tuning in right now. Come on, church, let's intercede for that. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God, that they are free today, that, Father, you are moving in their room, that you are moving in their home, that, God, you are opening up, Lord, even like we open the blinds to let the light in, that, God, the light of your presence is moving right now and shaking off darkness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For those of you that are online, stretch your hands this way. Stretch your hands this way and say, God, I receive it. I receive it. I pray for healing in their physical body in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that you are moving over them, that they will be able to move and do things that they haven't been able to do in over a year in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. By your stripes, we are healed. For those that are in this room, come on, just lift your hands to the Lord right now. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Father, you know every heart. You know every person, what they have struggled with, what they've currently been struggling with. And Father, I thank you that today that we are here, Lord, releasing, Lord, every anxiety, every thought of depression, of negativity, of things that have been enrooted for generations in our life that have caused triggers in our life to have anger and fear and resentment. In Jesus' name, God, we release those to you right now. We release those to you. We acknowledge, God, that we have issues in our life that only you can heal. That only you can heal. So, Lord, we lay down, Lord, our control. We lay down, God, even pride, Lord, that will have us not even acknowledge these things because of how long we've been saved. But, God, we come before you in your presence, and we humble ourselves before you, God, and say we need you, Savior. Savior, by your stripes, we are healed. By your stripes, God, we are healed. We are set free. The things that the enemy has planted in our souls are being uprooted even now. Come on, the things that are coming to your mind, begin to cast those things onto Jesus. You can even imagine and picture yourself just laying those at the cross. That's where he took those things upon him so that you would not have to bear. He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I bore those things. I carry your sorrows so that you can turn your sorrows into dancing, that you can lift your eyes to the heavens and know that I have got your back. God is wanting you to know that this is not you. The depression, the anxiety, he is carrying today. So lift your eyes up unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. You are healing people all over this room. All over this room, deep within our soul and within our mind. We renew our mind right now, God. We renew our mind and we replace what the enemy has planted by the things that are truth, which is your word. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. Come on, let's just stand on our feet right now. Begin to lift our hearts and our eyes to the Lord. Begin to praise him for the breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you for breakthrough. We praise you, God, that you are our God. And God, you are doing miracles even now. But God, we thank you that you're using, God, people in our life that can strengthen us, that can help us, that will walk through the valleys with us. Lord, that will be people that will shield us when the enemy tries to come and attack. God, we will be that person for somebody else in this room. That God, we will not judge or criticize, but God, we will help those that need you, Father. And we will say we are here because we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Father, we put on our armor today because we stand in the fight. And we know, God, that you are our deliverer, that you are our hope, that you are our healer. And so we say, God, begin to heal today in Jesus' name. Receive that this morning. Begin to receive that healing. Call it out.
I receive it.
Call it out.
Showers of mercy, yeah.
What a powerful, powerful time. As we're still in this prayer time right now, I want us to think about this. Those of you that have not come into a personal relationship with Christ, this is your time. This is your day.
Yes, yes it is.
And so pray with me right now. And if you do that and you believe in your heart, God will come inside and change you. So let's pray, online campus. Dear Jesus, come inside my life. Change me from the inside out. Forgive me of my sins. I repent. And I come to you humbly. Holy Spirit, fill me with your Spirit, and I'm going to live for you from this day forward. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.